Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Donna Marks, and you are listening to X the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, and One Solution. And the reason that I say there's one addiction is because I call that addiction an invisible hole. It's that feeling down deep that something is wrong with me, something is missing. And if I can just fill up that empty, lonely, disturbed, confused, angst, then I feel okay. And when I try to use certain things to feel better, they work. I don't feel that empty, lonely, uncomfortable feeling anymore. I feel whole, I feel complete, I feel fine. There's just one problem, that thing that I use to feel better wears off. And when it wears off, that hole is still there. And not only is it still there, now it has a whole new bunch of garbage in it. Shame, guilt, why did you say that? Why did you do that? What's the matter with you? I told you not to do it. Well, wait a minute, you just talked me into doing it, and now you're telling me I shouldn't have done it. Confusion, it just never ends. So that's the addiction. And the problem is, I go to treatment, I learn how to stop drinking. I learn how to stop drugging. I learn how to quit smoking. I learn how to stop eating certain things. But then that addiction just moves on over to something else. Sex, porn, relationships, a new kind of food, extreme workout, whatever, gambling, shopping. It just goes on and on and on. And I spend my whole life in the vicious maze from one addiction to the next. That's why it says there's only one addiction. I have suffered from this, and I understand what it's like to be trapped. I understand what it's like to be confused, and I understand what it's like to feel hopeless and powerless and depressed and anxious and all of those things. I understand what it feels like to be unhealthy. I understand what it feels like to stop something over and over and over again, thinking, this time I've got it, and then to start again. But I also understand what it's like to actually get well, to actually get healthy, and not only not be engaged in an addiction, but to say no to all of them, because I've learned how to replace that addiction with something else that actually works. There's only one thing that's going to fill that invisible hole. Only one thing. And if people don't find that one thing and learn how to have that one thing and to be that one thing, they will not stay sober. They will simply remain either addicted to the thing that they're trying to stop, or they'll find a new addiction. We have to understand the cause of the addiction. Babies are born healthy most of the time, not all of the time. I'm not saying that there aren't birth defects. Of course there are. But even babies with birth defects who are properly provided their needs, when they have enough food, enough shelter, enough cuddling, enough attention, enough guidance, enough security and warmth, they feel loved. They feel that they matter. Even children with birth defects turn out just fine. If you don't believe me, just Google people with birth defects who've had successful lives, and you will see that there are plenty of people who have had severe limitations and who have done very well. I actually went to high school with two twins who had birth defects, and they wound up being representatives for Ted Turner's corporation, Dare to be Great. They both became millionaires. They were supposed to die by the time they were 17 to 19 years old, and they lived long, prosperous lives. There are motivational speakers that you can Google on the Internet who have birth defects, physical limitations, who are very successful, who are productive, and who enjoy their lives. There are so many stories of people with disabilities and handicaps, whether they're blind or whether they can't hear or whether they can't walk or have some kind of serious illness, who have become very successful human beings. And by success, I'm not talking about money. Money is part of success. But success means that you're fulfilling your purpose, you're enjoying your life, you know why you're here, and you know your destiny, and you're allowing it to unfold. Your life has meaning, it has purpose, and no matter what you're going through or what you've gone through, you have turned that into helping other people and to be of service to humanity. Everything is designed for that reason. But what happens when we're functioning from that place of the invisible whole, we simply are constantly seeking the next quick fix. So we have to understand that the only thing that's going to fix that invisible hole is learning how to love yourself. And that brings us to the next part of the invisible hole, is understanding the one cause. If you're born and those needs are met and you feel secure and you feel loved and you feel that you're important and that you matter and you're not searching for how come I'm cold, how come they're not hugging me, how come they're not paying attention to me, how come there's never enough food, there's never enough of anything, it's that sense of lack, or how come I'm being hurt, how come I'm being yelled at, how come I'm being struck or otherwise not being treated with kindness as a child, that child will internalize and that will drill a hole in the self-esteem. When a child isn't treated that way and they do feel loved and cared about, when they are introduced to the first temptation, it doesn't have the same appeal as it would to someone with that emptiness and that void and that feeling of feeling like they're less than, of feeling like they don't quite measure up, of that feeling that I'm not okay, the world's not okay, you're not okay, nothing is okay. And there's that sense of I can't sleep, I can't regulate my emotions, nothing seems to be working right. That's the cause that something made a person feel like they weren't okay. That cause is something that is like a drill that goes into the core of someone's being and drills away the sense of self, the sense of wellness and hope, and leaves it with empty, lonely despair. There are different levels of this depending on what someone has been through. Some people become angry, some people become depressed. It's pretty much all the same thing. And if we don't deal with those causes, if we don't understand it, then we remain stuck there. Now, there's a whole theory that everyone with an addiction is addicted because they have a brain disorder and because there's a genetic predisposition. I am not denying that people who have a family history of addiction are more likely to become addicted. Please tell me, which gene says that you have to have that first cigarette, that you have to take a drink, that you have to have that first pill? There's no gene that says you ever have to start those behaviors. There's no gene that says you have to go to a casino. There's no gene that says you have to start smoking weed or watch porn. There's no gene that makes you do that. Now, it's true, if you have a genetic predisposition, you might be more likely to become addicted quickly once you do those things. So it's imperative and very important that part of self-care And part of the way we begin to see society and how we raise children is to help them to understand that if they have this genetic predisposition, they are better off never trying those things that they might become addicted to. And they would be better off to understand which things are addictive. One of the things I like to help people to understand is that it's not your fault if you become addicted. And I don't mean because you were genetically predisposed, because like I said earlier, you don't have to ever start an addiction. But what I do want you to understand is that things are made to get you hooked. There's no product out there that's addictive that wasn't intended in some way to give you an effect that was so strong that you wanted to return to it over and over and over again. Take alcohol. Who determined what would be the normal amount of alcohol? Who determined that? What kind of research went into that? How come it's not just 3 or 5%? Why is it the percentage that it is? Take cigarettes. You can find all the research you want to find on the internet about the things that the tobacco industry has gone through that have proven, and it's why they've had to pay so many high settlements, but it's proven that things were added to the tobacco to make the cigarettes even more addictive. Nicotine is a very addictive drug. It was originally used as an anesthesia to help numb certain areas of the body or skin. But taken orally, it is highly addictive in the brain, and the brain wants more. But no, that's not enough. Let's add other things to it to have a synergistic effect with the nicotine so that you want more and more and more. I was a nicotine addict. I had a cigarette when I was 12 years old at a slumber party, and I could not wait while I'm smoking the first one to light up the next one. And it was one after the next. The feeling that that nicotine gave me took me to a whole nother dimension. I did not know that I could ever feel that good, because I was one of those people that did not feel good about herself, that did have that invisible hole, and it was a wide gap. And when I had that cigarette for the first time, it was, I don't have to feel that anymore. And I started sneaking cigarettes and getting them wherever I could, and I was hooked for the next 20 years. I tried quitting all the time. Sometimes I'd make it for 3 months. And then, of course, something unpleasant would happen or a crisis would occur, and I would have to go back and get that one cigarette. I'm just going to have one. I actually would buy a whole pack and take one out and throw the rest away or crumble them up and flush them out. But then the next day, well, that worked. I'll go have one more. And I would go and buy another pack and throw them away. And after I did that 3 or 4 times, I would be like, this doesn't make any sense. This is too expensive. This is crazy. I'm just going to keep the pack, and I'll only do one at 5 o'clock every day. And that worked for a day. And then I'm thinking, well, okay, what's wrong with having one after lunch and one after dinner? And, you know, anybody that's had a nicotine problem totally gets everything that I'm saying here. Anybody that hasn't, it may not make sense at all. Maybe it would make sense if you think about sugar. I know people who are so addicted to sugar that they buy bags of things like M&Ms or gummy bears, and they go through the exact same experience that I just described. They will eat a whole bag. They'll eat one after the next. They will feel physically ill, just like I did with the cigarettes. But they won't care about that. The only thing they'll care about is getting the next sugar hit. I love to do research, and I've recently been doing some research about sugar. And one of the studies says that it is as addictive as crack cocaine on that frontal lobe of the brain. Here again, we're not talking about just sugar. I like to read ingredients, and I like to understand what I'm putting in my body. Sugar now is so highly refined that it's not like it used to be when they added sugar to certain sweet products. It is sugar on steroids. So it's highly refined, and then after that, now we have high fructose corn syrup, which is even more addictive. Okay, that's one component, the psychological addiction. But what it does to the body, people get a hit off of sugar just like I got off of nicotine. Oh, by the way, another thing that's put into the tobacco is it's sugar cured so that you're getting not only nicotine but a sugar hit as well. But anyhow, let me not divert myself any further. Let's just stay with sugar. You take something sweet and all of a sudden you get that warm, glowy feeling, the pitter-patter in the heart, and the minute your blood starts circulating that into your brain, more, 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 it never, ever ends. It is nonstop. And so the person will say, oh, I've gained weight. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, my doctor tells me my blood sugar's not right, or this isn't right, or that isn't right. So they do the same thing. They stop and they start. Or they try to manage it, and they try to have one piece of candy or one M&M, and that'll work for a few days, and then they're right back to the whole bag. Let's talk about alcohol. Same thing. Anybody can become addicted to alcohol. Alcohol isn't always as obvious as someone who's got a sugar or food disorder. You can see by looking at them that they've gained weight, or they recognize that they're eating that sugar nonstop. You can see someone who's smoking cigarettes and goes through a pack or two a day. They can't deny that they don't have a problem. But alcohol isn't always so easy to see. Most people with alcohol issues are highly functioning members of society. Oh, by the way, this is true of many of the substance use disorders, which I call substance use addiction. But I've been told that that's not a very nice way to put it, and that's not a very nice thing to say. It's shaming. I'm not shaming anybody. I'm certainly not shaming myself to say I've suffered from addiction. I don't take it personally that I was given these addictions. I actually don't appreciate it. I think that there should be a warning label on every single thing that's addictive, and yet there's not. So I'm trying to warn people now that if you take certain things, you are highly likely to become addicted. Alcohol gives the effect that you feel good, and you take a teenager who's got that invisible hole and put them in a party with some other people, and they say, here, have a beer, or here, have this drink. And that person drinks that drink, and they get that same feeling that I got the first time I took a drink, the same feeling as when I smoked that cigarette. Ah, relief. I'm funny. I'm laughing. For the first time, I'm feeling a part of a tribe. We're having a good time. We're having a blast. And then, where's the next one? And the next one. And maybe I go through my early life, high school, college. In my case, it caused me to do some really stupid things like get married when I was 16, but that's a whole other story. Many people will function very well drinking socially, even drinking regularly, for many, many, many years. But eventually, those tentacles of the bottle get wrapped around that invisible hole and pull people down into it, and they never know what hit them. I can tell you that there are so many professional and highly successful people who are able to do their job fairly well for a long, long time. Let's even say they do it exceptionally well at first, and then they decline as the alcohol or substances begins to take hold of their brain. Tentacles wrap themselves around that executive functioning of the frontal lobe of the brain, and they start to decline. And, of course, that invisible hole gets then start to fill with anxiety and depression and fear and all kinds of other negative emotions. And so even when they try to stop, which they often will, they can't stay stopped. We're going to take a break now, and when I come back, I'm going to give you some examples, and we're going to talk more about the cause and the solution. If you're listening, I've had some people email me lately that they have questions, and now's the time to ask them. So please feel free to call in with your questions. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much, and we'll return after the break.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again, and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Mark says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. And I hope you will visit my webpage, www.drdonnamarks.com, DonnaMarks. There are over 200 articles on mental health and wellness and addiction, relationships, whatever you might be looking for in terms of some solutions and some answers, you will probably find it on that webpage for free. I write a weekly blog, and I love being able to share those with you on the webpage. So before the break, we were talking about how things are made to get a person addicted, and we were talking about alcohol and how addictive that drug is. And here's the biggest problem. I was discussing that, you know, a lot of us see an alcoholic or an addict as someone who's down the street, on the side of the road, camped out in a tent. You know, we're seeing all these homeless people on the news now, and we're told that many of them are substance abusers. Folks, that's just the end of the line. Most people don't wind up there. Most people have families and careers and jobs, and they are doing their thing. And they never even realize that they have become addicted. I have worked with so many professionals who have health issues, marital issues, emotional issues, issues with their kids, and they cannot wrap their minds around the fact that substances or some other addiction is the problem. Nobody wants to think of themselves as an alcoholic. Nobody wants to think of themselves as a substance abuser. Nobody wants their child to be a substance abuser or an addict. It's not a comfortable thing to face. I know what it's like to have to face that in yourself and in your loved ones. But here's the thing. If we can't accept reality, we never live in reality. If we can't face the truth, we never get out of jail. We stay in the maze of addiction. I'm going to give you an example. I heard on the news this week that there was a substance abuse counselor who drove into a crowd on July 4th and killed three people. Now, if anybody would understand substance abuse, you would think it would be a substance abuse counselor, because most substance abuse counselors are in recovery. So they know what substance abuse is, and they know what to do and what not to do. But the problem with addiction is that if that cause has not been dealt with and that invisible hole keeps drilling down, you have not received the appropriate solution. And this is what happens so often. People go to meetings, people go to recovery, people go to treatment, and they haven't learned the solution. This fella, and I'm not going to name him, I'm just going to read the article, because it's really, really important, and it's really, really sad. A suspected drunk driver who plowed into a 4th of July park celebration and killed three people reportedly worked as a substance abuse counselor. This 40-something-year-old is accused of driving his pickup truck into a crowd in New York City's Lower East Side on Thursday night. He allegedly drove his Ford 150 onto a sidewalk and ran over a group who were barbecuing. He struck 11 people, and four of them were trapped under the truck, said the police department. Two people were pronounced dead at the scene, and a third victim died overnight. The deceased had been identified as a woman, a man, and another woman. Victims who were injured ranged in age from 11 to 38. All are in stable condition at hospitals except the woman who is in critical condition. New York City Mayor Adams said it appeared that the driver was under the influence as the people at the park were celebrating Independence Day, like so many New Yorkers and Americans are doing right now. The suspect was reportedly pulled out of his truck by revelers and beaten. Responding officers who did arrive on the scene smelled some alcohol, but we are still in the process of doing testing. Right now, we do not feel this is a terrorism-related event. We do believe alcohol played a role in this. By the way, as a side note, most of these terrorist events, they do have to get really high on substances before they can carry out their terrorism. We also know that so many of these tankers and major ship accidents at sea are due to the pilots being impaired. You can look that up for yourself, too. Hayden wrote a book to help people live with addiction, law enforcement sources told NBC New York on Friday. It shows, as the author of the book, The Sober Addict, a guide on how to be functional with the dysfunctional disease of addiction. Now, if someone like me in recovery can write books and has all the answers on facing the fact that you have an addiction and doing the required things to be abstinent and then relapses and actually has a horribly devastating accident that will never bring back the lives of the people. These people's lives are never going to be the same. This person who caused this has to live with this as well. Many of these people who are drunk or impaired and kill people wind up killing themselves, either overtly or covertly. But any way you look at it, it's tragic. It's terrible. It's horrible. And yet, why would someone who's a counselor helping other people with substance abuse disorders and who wrote a book on it ever take that first drink again? There's only one answer. They did not understand the cause or the solution. And something happened to that person that made them feel like using again. And once that substance is in that person's brain, that brain is hijacked. The body snatchers have come and taken that person's executive functioning, the ability to make good decisions and to know right from wrong. It got hijacked and it's gone. And that person's ability to make good decisions is gone. And they go out and they relapse and something like this happens. Horrible. It doesn't have to be that way. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the cause, and then we're going to get into the solution. This is Dr. Donna Marks, and you're listening to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. Please feel free to call in. We would love to hear from you. The phone number to call in is 310-371-5444 or 310-371-5459. We look forward to hearing from you. Any questions that you have or anything you'd like to share, we would love to hear from you. We'll return after the break. Thank you.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. And then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Nada Marks, and you are listening to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, and One Solution. And we're talking about the causes of addiction. The cause being two things. One, that invisible hole, that feeling that something is missing, that feeling that something is wrong. I don't feel right. I'm different than other people. I'm inferior in some way. And that can be caused, and usually is, by something that happened or didn't happen during those formative years of development. I go into great length about this in my books, and you're welcome to purchase those on Amazon, Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. There's also a couple other books that address that. And I would love for you to be able to get a copy of that. If you can't afford it, please email me. I'll send you one. But if you can, you can order it either on Simon Schuster or right on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or just about any other book site. You can also order them at www.drdonnamarks.com. So we have to deal with that part of the cause. The other part of the cause is that things are made to get you addicted. And I was talking about professionals, and I was giving you an example of a substance abuse counselor professional who relapsed, apparently, and wound up killing three people and injuring others. This is, I'd like to tell you, this is a rare event. It's not a rare event that people are killed. In fact, almost all accidents have some type of substance abuse relation or addiction-related component to them. Even texting and social media. You know, when you can't stay off your phone or stop not texting when you're driving, and I've done it myself, I admit it, but I have to look at that. Like, that is addictive behavior. Addictive behavior is when you continue to do something even though bad things happen when you do it. And you can get a ticket, you can hit someone. These young people that are on social media that are literally killing themselves because they've been so devastated by the unkindness of other comments and things like that, or someone who's become so addicted to video gaming or social media that they have no life. These are very serious things. So, again, I want you to understand that you are a victim. You are not a defective person who is weak in character or who has no willpower. It's not about that. It's about something that was made to take over your mind, and it works. Some people have been very obvious about this. I don't know if any of you have seen the show The Painkillers, but it talks about OxyContin and how it was made and campaigned to not only get people dependent on the drug, but that they would need more and more and more in order to remain pain-free. The only problem is many people died. We hear about the opiate overdose every year. This isn't even the tip of the iceberg. And unfortunately, I don't know why this is. Maybe some of my listeners can help me with this. We don't mind getting mad at the pharmaceutical company that created OxyContin, even though it's still on the market, even though it's still highly addictive, and even though people relapse from alcohol when they're given it, and all kinds of bad things are still happening. But we don't mind talking about that. That seems to be okay. But no one's talking about a lot of these other things, and not enough people are talking about all these other things. Certain foods that are made to get you addictive, like I talked about earlier with sugar, or high fat contents that are unhealthy but taste good. There are so many ways that people are intentionally designed to get you addicted. And I want people to have their minds back. I want them to be free from this. I want them to understand that they don't have to be. So if you don't feel okay, there's no reason for you to feel that way. There's no reason for you not to feel okay about yourself. Whatever you've done or whatever has happened can be corrected. It can be corrected. And all you need to do is get the right kind of help. The second thing is to take back control. If certain things cause you to be addicted, don't do it. Don't fall for it. Don't ever try it. You know, a lot of people say, I have an addictive personality. Okay, if you know that, then don't find out what the addictions are. You can read my book or you could just look it up. What are the most common addictions? There's tons of information all over the Internet. I've already talked about most of them. Shopping, gambling, substances, including cigarettes, pot. Oh, by the way, which is now 20% stronger than it used to be and causing all kinds of severe mental illness symptoms. But the list goes on. Sex, love addiction, pornographic addiction, social media addiction. There's no end to the list, but not everything is addictive. You don't get addicted. Oh, caffeine's a big one, too. You don't get addicted to water, do you? No, of course not. You don't get addicted to vegetables. No, of course not. Because they don't have things in them that are designed to get you that way. These other things are deliberately designed to get you addicted. So when we talk about causes, you must deal with yourself first so that you feel good about yourself and you feel okay with yourself and that you know you're okay. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be loved. You don't have to be perfect to be lovable. You don't have to be perfect to have friends, to have a good life, to have a nice home, to have your needs met, to have a good career. You don't have to be perfect for any of that. You just have to care enough about yourself that you're not hitting the self-destruct button on a regular basis. You deserve to have a good life. And if you don't have a good life, there are certain things that are happening in your life to prevent that. And maybe you have become dependent or addicted to something and don't realize it. Maybe you're in an addictive relationship. I recently did a seminar. We had over 1,000 people sign up for that just because they were so interested in love addiction. It's a biggie right now. If you feel like you're not okay, if you're not in a love relationship, or you keep going back to a toxic relationship over and over and over again because you don't feel okay, it's time to take a look at that. Because that cause, that something inside of you that doesn't allow you to either transform and outgrow the relationship or grow in the relationship and be the one for change in the relationship, you are doomed to that drill making that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. You deserve to be loved, and you deserve to have a loving, healthy relationships. And we don't hear about those enough. There are plenty of relationships on this planet where people have true love. They don't require too much work. All good relationships require some work. When you bring two human beings together, it's not easy once that new glow wears off. You have to navigate your way into good communication, into honesty, and into being a team. And that takes a little bit of effort. But the benefits are that on the other side of that, you have true love, true intimacy, and genuine connection. You have your buddy, you have your friend, you have your partner, and you're working together. When we return after the break, we are going to talk about the one solution. I hope you'll call in. I hope you'll come ask your questions. You can always visit my webpage at www.drdonnamarks.com, and I'd love to hear from you. We will return after the break. Thank you.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again, and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution, available on my website at www.drdonnamarks.com or on Simon Schuster, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and just about any other book site, you can find that book as well as the others that I have written. I am talking now about the solution. Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, and One Solution. Now, you might think that stopping the addiction is the solution. Or you might think that going to treatment is the solution. And if that were the solution, every time somebody stopped or every time somebody went to treatment, they would be done, right? They wouldn't have a problem anymore. They would be finished. The reason I talked about the substance abuse counselor earlier is because he's symbolic of many, many people. If you just Google how many physicians have a substance abuse disorder, you will find that 1 in 10 physicians will fall into a drug or alcohol abuse at some point in their lives. In other words, it's the same as for the rest of the population. That's just substance abuse. Don't forget, we've got sugar, gambling, porn, you name it. We've got all these other types of addiction. But how would you like to have your surgeon be coming off of a high or be high while they're operating on you? It happens, folks. It happens. And again, the solution, a lot of these people go to treatment. Some of them are more successful than others in terms of education and income. Recovery has nothing to do with that, although I think the people that have more to lose are more likely to stay sober if they get intervened upon. many of these people, professionals, teachers, bankers, financial planners, doctors, lawyers, you name it, they are functioning, highly functioning. You will see their careers decline as they go along, but a lot of them will get help. Their percentage of recovery isn't much better than anybody else's because they haven't found the solution. There's only one solution to an addiction. First of all, you have to understand, what does that addiction do for you? It gives you that warm, glowy feeling. It makes you feel okay for the moment. And it makes you forget about that invisible hole. So, stopping and having all the answers in the world about how not to use is not going to help you unless you understand that that feeling that you're trying to get is a substitute for something that will cure you. That feeling that you're trying to get from whatever addiction you're using is a substitute for love. Now, you already know this. I'm not telling you anything new. But until you really understand it, you know, I knew a lot of things in my whole lifetime, but I didn't really understand them. I had a lot of answers that I could not really internalize. Self-love. When you love yourself, the thought of doing something toxic to your body, to your mind, and to your soul is the farthest thing from your mind. I'm going to repeat that. When you love something, when you love yourself, doing something toxic to your body, for example, putting poison in it, nicotine or alcohol or substances or unhealthy foods, things that are bad for your body, or for your mind that are going to alter it and take away who you are, that you're not yourself anymore, and your soul that you check out from any type of inner love connection, those are the things that must be intact at all times. And so self-love is learning how to love yourself. If you're like me, you didn't know how to do that, and it's why I relapsed after a long, long time of being sober, abstinent, and switching from one addiction to the next, and thinking I was sober because I wasn't drinking anymore, I wasn't smoking anymore. Learning how to love yourself. I'm going to give you an example. I actually, in my book, provide these, but I'm going to share some of them with you now, because most people don't know what that means, and it's a body-mind-spirit overhaul. It means striving to be peaceful and eliminating things from your life that cause you to be upset and unpeaceful. It means having gratitude. It means being responsible, paying your bills on time so that you're not stressed out about it or have this underlying feeling of owing somebody something. It means being grateful for little things, like when you're brushing your teeth, you have a toothbrush and you have toothpaste. Or when you take a shower, feeling gratitude that you have warm water and soap and a nice dry towel. People who love themselves will be growing all the time. They enjoy stretching. They're reading a book. They're watching a sunset. They're making sure that they put healthy food and nutrition in their body. These are what parents do with children. They teach them how to care for themselves in positive ways. You listen to music that you love. You keep your car clean. You enjoy keeping your home in order. You help a friend. You make a call to check on someone. You find a cozy blanket and cuddle up in it. You learn how to embrace all of your feelings. You sink into them until they pass, and you don't act on them until you feel neutral. No matter what, you don't avoid your feelings. You recognize that any type of anger or anxiety is rooted in fear, and you're willing to sit with it until you understand what you're afraid of. And then you decide to do something about it. This is really important when we talk about addiction, that we understand what's scaring us and we do something about it. A lot of people, are, because their brain has been hijacked, think they won't enjoy life if they're not using the thing that they've substituted love for. I'll be miserable without this. But the truth of the matter is, you have been miserable with it. And once you're free, you'll be so glad that you have yourself back. I'd love to send you this list. You can probably access it on my webpage. I'm pretty sure it's there, but just in case you have trouble locating it, you can email me at right off of my webpage, and I will be happy to send it to you. I hope that no matter who you are or where you are, that you will be able to embrace the truth. Maybe it's you, maybe it's someone you know, but you will be able to exit the maze, that you will be able to live free, have yourself back, and have the life that you were meant to have. You do not have to be addicted to anyone, anything, ever. You have the choice. And it's a lot easier than you think when you live in the solution, when you learn how to love yourself. This is going to conclude our show for the day. We're very, very happy that you've joined us. You're listening to Dr. Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. And I hope that you will visit my webpage. If you would like a copy of my book, you can order it at Amazon.com. On my webpage, Simon Schuster or Barnes & Noble. Please have a wonderful, sober life, and we'll see you next month.